Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like, in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there, and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Another day, more drama, but we think we might have an answer in roughly an hour as to which way the wind is blowing here.
Is that why you put my ass in today?
Is that why I pulled your
ass? I want to do some jumping jacks. I want to have it on wax. You could have did this from your couch, eh?
I could have. Yeah, but I wanted to get out. You know, like you said, stretch the legs, get some fresh air, drive by all the nice schools in New York City.
Some people don't want the honeydew list to happen. You know, it's right off the air. You don't want wifey to know exactly what time you got off, so you're going to have to start doing the honeydew stuff.
I needed to get out of the house. I had the show last night. I had the late Nick game, which didn't wrap up till 1 in the morning.
How about that?
How about that?
Grind.
How about that? Deuce. Little Deuce McBride action. Dame, yeah, you know, man. You're playing 1-5 because Dame was the only guy that showed up for the other team. But hey, you know, give this team credit, right? I mean, you go 2-2 on that trip after it started out horribly. Randle's found himself again. And oh, by the way, you won a couple of games without Brunson.
Yeah. And I mean, and win-win, right? Two games. You know, and listening to Allen yesterday, he hit the nail right on the head talking about, hey, they're tired. Their legs are tired. It's been a long trip. They have to get this one. This is an opponent that they should match up well with.
Yep.
But they got tired legs. So when a jump shot ain't going, you got to go to the rack, get to the foul line. Julius Randle, everybody's aggressive, getting into the lane, you know, finishing at the cup. If not finishing at the cup, being able to get opportunities to get free throws. And, you know, that's one of those gritty, grind-out type of wins that you expect teams that play as hard as the Knicks to be able to play. And they played well.
Absolutely. And again, I keep talking
about
coming
back from that big deficit. It was crazy.
They couldn't make a shot to save their lives in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Down by 16. And then all of a sudden, just like the blink of an eye, they build up an 18-19 point lead in the fourth quarter. It was crazy. And a lot of it was the doing of the bench. And we talked about this even a couple of weeks ago when we were working together. The Josh Hart experience. Okay, you have to see it to believe it.
Shows up every game.
It's not something that's going to make SportsCenter, but again, it's as consistent as anything.
And it's hustle, too.
It's hustle. You could predict the box score for Josh Hart. It's going to be 30 minutes. It's going to be maybe only 3 or 4 shots taken, but he's going to get somewhere around 10 points. Last night, he almost had a triple-double. He was a plus 26, Bart.
Is that good?
It's okay.
You have to explain it to our listeners. You're assuming that everybody knows what plus means.
Plus minus. When he's out on the court,
okay, is that plus? Like, what's a typical? What's the average player plus?
Average
minus?
Is just breaking even. Is zero.
Right. So breaking it. So we need to know. Like, is plus 20? Is that a B plus? Is that an A? Is that exceptional? Is that unusual? That's what we need to know so we can understand for the people out there that's listening to it. See, I used to do this, right?
Yeah.
I used to talk all nerdy. Like when it got to football, and people didn't know because they couldn't decipher it. But what people don't do when they don't understand something,
they don't ask questions.
They just nod their head because they don't want to come off as stupid. And we don't want our listeners to be stupid or ill-informed. So tell them how good plus 20 is so that when they go talk to their peoples, all the people that hate against the Knicks, the people that's Nets fans, the people that are fans of the Sixers, people that are fans of Boston, they let them know. Like, yeah, Josh Hart, give Tibbs in the brass, give them the kudos because they brought in a guy that's playing at a level that's exceptional. So tell me and tell our listeners, plus 20, like, is that rare?
Is that good?
Is that very? Do you get a star? Do you get a, like, 3 stars? Like, talk to them like we were in elementary school and you did a good paper, you did good at the test. How many stars would this be worth?
This would be a 4-star performance.
Four stars.
4 out of 5.
So Josh Hart is a 4-star type of guy.
Damn right.
Going against his former team. Reddish was trying to get busy. He started. He had a little bit to say about the squad. You telling me Josh Hart is a 4-star type of guy?
Okay, so here, I'll give you the comparison, okay?
Okay, that's what I need to know.
Josh Hart was a plus 26 last night. That was the high of any guy who stepped out on the floor for either team.
Even Dame Dalla?
That's right. Do you know what Cam Reddish's plus minus was last night?
I do not.
Cam Reddish only played 19 minutes.
19 minutes.
Cam Reddish was a game worst, minus 27.
So this is opposite world.
Opposite ends of the spectrum.
So it's balanced. It's spectrum.
Exactly. Minus 27.
So on a day where he was supposed to get hot,
mm-hmm.
because this team believed in him, him, let him play, the guy that we traded for him was plus 26, yet Reddish, and he has something to say.
You know what the most impressive number is, though, about Josh Hart, though? Forget about, like, the plus minus and all the other things that he does. To me, when I look at it, for as long as he's been on this team, the only numbers that matter to me, 11-3. Mm. That's the Knicks record since they got Josh Hart. 11-3. Isn't winning games the most important thing?
Yeah.
Right? And last night it was the bench, and that's why guys like, you know, we talked about Josh Hart was the plus 26. Deuce McBride was a plus 17. Deuce McBride had a career high last night. He was unconscious for Deuce McBride standards. Hit four threes. Everybody making a contribution.
You got to love McBride because you know you can always bank on his defense.
Yep.
But now understanding that with Julius being able to break down the defense, with what, you know, Brunson could do when he's in the lineup quickly as well, all he got to do is be Bruce Bowens. Spot up. Find your favorite spot. Be Tucker, right? Find your spot. Release, rotation, splash.
But you know what the problem is? And fans are going to get angry about this probably maybe even in a couple of days.
Uh-oh.
What happens when Brunson comes back? When Brunson comes back, McBride's not going to see the floor. You know how it is.
Well, listen, has he earned an opportunity with his defense? When you have these tough matchups, you got to sprinkle him in. You can't, when a guy gives you his heart and he has a game like this, you have to reward this type of play. You have to.
I'm with you. But that's not the way Tibbs rolls. Because he's not going to go to a 10-man rotation.
So you're telling me Tibbs can't adjust.
I'm not saying he can't adjust. I'm saying he's reluctant to adjust.
You're telling me he won't adjust.
Right, he's reluctant.
So because when Brunson comes back, this is actually a blessing in disguise for Brunson. Play a lot of minutes. Always plays hard. Just gives him an opportunity. Get them legs ready, right? Get that body ready for the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
So why wouldn't you want McBride to play more and work him in slowly?
I'm with you. I'm with you 100%, and I think that that's something that maybe the Knicks should do. But
well, you know they all listen to our show.
No, well,
and they respect your opinion.
They're on the West Coast.
They
right
damn
now.
Sure respect mine, but they're listening.
They're on the West Coast. You think they're listening a little bit earlier?
Yes, they're listening.
On the app.
Listen, they're sitting there.
Yeah.
On the treadmill.
Treadmill before the flight.
Before the flight.
Nice.
Yeah, listen, because
I like
guess
that.
What? You don't want that scar tissue to set up.
No.
That's a long flight, man. You sitting up there 6 hours and you let that. You talk about being sore and stiff. You got to get that blood flow.
Well,
recovery walk.
All right, so here's the balance act that you have to play right now if you're the Knicks. Okay, believe it or not, you only got 11 games left. Like,
yes.
The season's flying by. 11 games. You right now have the fifth spot. You're a game ahead of the Nets. And I don't think it's in the bag by any stretch. And you still have that outside
have
shot at getting Cleveland.
It's crazy.
That's what I'm saying. But, like, you're three behind Cleveland. In a perfect world, you'd love to be the four because then you get at least home court advantage in the first round. So what's the balancing act if you're the Knicks and if you're Tibbs? Do you go all in to make sure that you try to finish as high as possible? Or, with only 11 games left, are you going to make sure that you're going to try to spell some of these guys so they can maybe have fresher legs once the playoffs roll around?
I mean, that's a tough one because you want to reward the Knicks fans because you want to think that maybe it's an advantage to be able to play at home. And, you know, for the organization, it's good to be able to host and be able to utilize that energy from the crowd. So that's a big deal right there. Like, that's a tough decision. And you know, Tibbs, you know, I wouldn't want to be in that situation, but he has to understand because players aren't going to be transparent. Julius has played a lot of minutes. You want to try and get him to kind of, you know, you ever run a race, you can either finish hard through the line or you can – coast through the line, like you can start letting up when you see the finish line. And I think because the Knicks got out to a fast start because of what they've done since the All-Star break and a little bit before the All-Star break, they got out fast, right?
Right.
It's two methods, right? You can get out slowly, get your stride, and finish through the line fast like the Warriors are trying to do because they understand they can't start losing games on the road, so they got to put more energy. Or you can get out fast. And because you have that momentum, you coast in so you can start your recovery. So I don't know if the Knicks want to start their recovery, but you know, you have to tell yourself, man, we got some guys that may have some tired legs, and you got, you know, some opponents that could have some fresh legs. So I think Brunson's injury is a blessing in disguise, but how do you get Julius Randle some minutes off? And can Obi Toppin come in and give you some scoring, just give you some energy? Because you're going to be playing against some teams that want to win, need to win, so they're going to be desperate, so they're going to be hard to kill. But then you're going to have some guys that's already packed. There's some teams that's already packed. And you hope on those days you can win with your B-side.
Here's the thing. And over the weekend and into last week, when Julius had those three games that were bad, right, and he couldn't throw the ball in the ocean. Right. I mean, he was struggling. And then that's what was brought up, tired legs. And then the load management thing. Maybe they should spell, because that's not the way Tibbs does things. That's not the way the Knicks do things. And I give Randall credit, and I give the Knicks credit. There's only two guys, Bart. They played 71 games. Two guys on this team have played every game this year. Yeah. Randall's one of them, and the other is Isaiah Hartenstein. So I know that this is the way of the NBA. Like last night, for example, the Lakers, who are in a fight for their lives right now to just make the playoffs. Like right now they're sitting in they're in a three-way tie for eighth, right? They win last night. Anthony Davis, monster game. I think he had like 35-17. He's been playing really well since LeBron went down to an injury. As soon as the game was over, the Lakers announced that Anthony Davis ain't playing tonight to rest his foot. It's like, come on, man. Like, what are we doing? These guys are making a ton of money. You're trying to make the playoffs. You already got one of your big players down. Yeah. This dude is balling out. And then as soon as the game is over, the people aren't even in their cars yet, you're telling everybody that he's not playing tonight. I mean, come on.
Well, you know why that happens? Because you got Mr. Glass out there.
Yeah, because he's always hurt.
And listen, he's not Bruce Willis in Unbreakable. He's Samuel Jackson.
He's breakable.
If he sneezes, he might crack his floating rib. So,
but don't you think that's bad?
Well, they know he just put a monster game out. He expended himself. And this is the whole load management science thing, right? It's different. So some guy from the Geek Squad decided to say, hey, listen, the analytics say this. And some guys are just guys that automatically get hurt. You know what I mean? Like, London Fletcher went 229 games and never missed a game.
Small guy, too. In NFL standards, linebackers.
I missed one game in my career. Just one. Yeah. And that was voluntarily because I had no ligament in my toe and I was trying to get some rest. See, what these young athletes don't understand is you have to build up a callus, right? You have to be able to build yourself up. Like, if you're racing, if you're preparing for a mile, you got to run 2 miles.
Right.
So then when you have to run the mile, it's easy. See, the problem is because training camps are so easy, I don't care what sport it is, you break down because you have to build yourself up. Like, your body and your mind is used to going. If you only run a mile and you have to run a mile and a half because now you're in the postseason, that mile and a half is going to kill you because your body's never been there before. So this whole load management stuff, yes, it's because they don't build themselves up enough, right? It's like boxers now. We look at boxers and they dying through 12 rounds. Well, Hagler, Hearns, they used to go 15.
Yeah.
15. Nobody died. It was not lulls in the action. It wasn't they weren't throwing bombs in the 13th and 14th and 15th round.
Rocky used to go 15 rounds.
Well, I mean.
No, it was actually, you know.
Yeah, I mean.
Remember, but it was funny. As kids, though, we'd see those movies before, like, you saw real boxing. And then when you saw real boxing, you were like, what the hell is this? You know, it didn't stack up to the Rocky fights.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you want to see action.
Well, War Gotti,
right.
Diego Corrales, and Casamayor. You know what I'm saying? You got your money's worth the first Leonard Hearns fight. But I tell you what, listen. You know how we do. We love to hear from our callers.
Mm-hmm.
I would ask them, what do they think that Tibbs should do? Should they rest Julius Randle?
I seem to think the majority of people feel that way.
Because does it matter, right? Does it matter whether, you know, three games are at home or four games are at home? Does home field advantage matters if you're compromising your guy? And if you have beliefs that you're going to get to the second round, you may not feel the effects in the first round, but you damn sure going to feel it in the second round. So how much belief does Tibbs have in his team that the matchup that they're going to have in the first round, that it shouldn't matter whether they're on the road or at home? Because if you're the better team, you're the deeper team, you're the better team.
Last night during the broadcast, we played this cut from Tibbs, and this is him talking about load management, because again, this has been brought up a lot here. So this is what Tibbs had to say about the whole concept of, you know, minutes restrictions, guys taking games off.
We talk about pacing the team, yeah. Right? So there's a number of different ways. And I know it's in vogue to, like, oh, this guy played 38 minutes tonight, so therefore that's too many minutes. Well, how do you know what he did the day before? How do you know what he did in practice? You don't know. Right, so to say someone played 38 minutes and then they need rest, well, that's not true. And then if you're scrimmaging in practice, maybe you hold him out of the scrimmage. Or maybe you have a sub with him. So maybe he has a couple reps and he's out. Or maybe he does nothing. Maybe he just does recovery. So there's a lot of different ways to do it. So, you know, again, trust the medical people, trust the player. And then we know we have a very young team. So when you have a young team, and Julius is just going into his prime, right? So the only way they're going to get better is by working. If they don't work, they're not getting better.
He ain't 21.
So let's shorten his let's shorten his rest time then.
Yeah, right.
Because he's in his prime. Let's make his prime short. Because the thing is, like, I get what he's saying, right? We have the 30 and over club in football. And if you're over 30, they give you a rest day. You don't have to, like, every other practice you get off. Get that. But you can't equate rest and practice to the intensity that you play in a game, because practice is never going to be as intense as a game. So when I look at Julius Randle playing 34 minutes, only quickly, Hart played more, but only quickly, him and quickly, you know, tied for second for the most minutes. Like, I'd much rather see him with 28 minutes, the same minutes that R.J. Barrett has. And I know R.J. Barrett minutes are down because Hart minutes are up, but you got to find a way to get him some extra minutes, man, just to take a little bit off, right? And Julius going to take the time off whether you give it to him or not. And it was taken off in the form of his, you know, how intense he plays on the defensive side of the ball. That you're going to get the rest when you need it.
Right. And I think that, look, the blessing that they had, not just stealing that win last night, but doing so without Brunson, and the fact that they don't have to play now until Saturday. Like, that's a good few days off before Denver comes in here. And look, Denver, I don't know if they're necessarily as unbeatable as they are when they're at home. I mean, do you
lost
realize
to the Nets?
Denver's got a losing record, though, on the road. And they lost to the Nets. Like you said, they lost to the Nets at home where they never lose, but they got a losing record on the road. So this is a game on Saturday. You know what? Especially if you get Brunson back. I expect the Knicks to win this game. Why not?
Expect?
Why not?
It depends on how much rest they get on that flight.
Well, I think they flew back today. So they slept over last night in Portland. They're flying back today.
That's weird that they slept over, too.
Well, because they had no game, right? They're not playing for a few days. Still, it's not like they had to.
But you want to get them home.
But nowadays with these rest and recovery specialists or whatever, they're like advising the teams of like that extra stay of rest.
But how much rest are you going to get when you got to get up at the crack of dawn?
What time would the flight be, though? Rangers do the same thing. See, so maybe it's like, I don't know, maybe it's an MSG thing.
See, as a football player, we play in Seattle. Can be a night game. We don't get on that flight. Get it home. Because guess what? Nothing like when you get – because now when they get home, what do they got to do? Right?
Well, remember, when the Jets went out to Seattle this year, the original plan, it didn't happen, but I think the original plan, the way they mapped it out, was supposed to be a four-day trip.
Yeah, you fly out early to get accustomed to the
time. And then
they
were going to stay over.
That's stupid.
They didn't, but they came right home.
Yeah, because it's smart, because you can start tending to your – like, listen, when we come home, we go straight to the training room.
Yeah.
If you got injuries, I know, like, football, you got real injuries, not like basketball when your hamstring's tight, something like that. But we get it right there. But then you go home and you go to sleep, and you can sleep all day. Like, them getting up now, they getting home, it's light outside. They'll take a nap, and then, so they take the nap, at what time? Like, they get in, probably it's a six-hour flight, they doing it in the morning, so it's usually the morning time there. So even if it's 5 o'clock there, it's 8 o'clock there, so how much did you sleep in?
Right.
Because you got up at 5 o'clock to get ready to go to the flight, so that's really 8 o'clock. So when you get back here, it's, what, 2 o'clock? Who the hell gets good sleep at 2 o'clock? And then what happens is...
And it stays lighter longer now,
right,
too, which is going to screw them up even more.
And then what happens is you sleep in the middle of the day, then you can't sleep at night because you've been sleeping all day. So then you stay up all the way 3 o'clock at night. Then you wake up the next day, you're tired.
It's funny because...
It's stupid.
You're not going to feel... If that's indeed the way things are going to fall out here, you're not going to feel...
And your kids are running around. It's noise. The house ain't quiet.
Well, today's what, Wednesday? So they're not going to feel good probably till about what, late tomorrow afternoon?
Yeah, like, but it's going to be people that's not going to get the proper sleep.
Yeah.
See, but if you just fly them through the night, as soon as the game's over, fly them through the night, they'll sleep in and tell them, hey, man, we got a meeting at like 3 o'clock, and you wake them up and get treatment late at 3 o'clock. But guess what? They'll go to sleep at 11 o'clock, and then they'll wake up at a normal time the next day. Dumb. Just call me if you want to know how to damn recover.
That's it. So if you're flying cross-country, Bart's got the answers. We'll take your calls, though. 800-919-3776 is the telephone number, of course, because then the feet could swell and all that stuff. You don't want that on a long flight, which happens to me sometimes, by the way. We'll talk about the Knicks, the load management. Also, you see what Mitchell Robinson had to say? Or had to, let's say, post Let's put it that way. Not to say, but to post. We'll get into all that stuff. Also, of course, we're waiting with bated breath, 40 minutes away. Aaron Rodgers going on the McAfee show. He will speak. Will he give us more details than we know?
Today?
That's today. You believe that?
On a Wednesday?
That's it. That's it. Big day.
I've had some conversations too today, but I won't
really
quote my sources.
Really?
I'm loyal.
Wow.
I'm loyal.
See if we can get some any dirt maybe during the commercial. We'll find out.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Will you explain to people like what our game plan was? Why we started Knicks? Because it's going to get juicy around what time?
1 o'clock.
By 1 o'clock it gets juicy, right?
1 o'clock. Juicy fruit.
So let's go ahead and let's go straight to a call and let's get Scott, you know what I'm saying, some just do because we about to transition from this Knicks stuff. Because, man, it is an important day, and I love what's going on with both our New York football team. Foosball, Bobby Boucher.
You're darn right about that. So 1 o'clock, Rodgers on the McAfee Show. We'll have that covered for you. But we're talking Knicks right now. Good win for them. Coming home from the West Coast with a 500 trip. They're back at it Saturday afternoon against the Nuggets. But we're talking about load management. Also, before we get to the calls, though, ooh, I mentioned Mitchell Robinson.
Tease something. You're such a tease.
I'm a tease. Mitchell Robinson. Did you see what he had to say?
I did not. I missed that one. I think I went night-night.
Well, I don't know if it was technically... I guess you say it, even though it's not verbal, right? Like, if you post something, you're saying it. Okay.
Stand by that statement.
So they had a good win last night. A good win. Like, everybody should be giddy. You know, you salvage the trip. You're coming on home. Mitchell, I guess, goes on Snapchat, his Keeping Up With Mitch account.
People still use Snapchat? I thought they transitioned to TikTok. Tickety-tock-tock. Or what's the one that...
Twitch?
Yeah, Twitch. Yeah. Everybody got a Twitch.
You might as well still be using MySpace.
Yeah, exactly.
Watching VHS tapes. Anyway.
Blackpeoplemeet.com.
I don't know. Is that a popular one or was a popular one?
It used to be called Black Planet.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Okay. So Mitch goes on...
You weren't invited.
Yeah. Mitch goes on his Snapchat, okay? And he types, posts, tired ASF. You know what that means. It's a family show, so I can't spell it out for you. Of just being out there for cardio, fam. Like, I want to play basketball to really just wasting my time and energy.
Whoa.
And then the next one was disappearing for a while. Now, the reason he said that was Knicks had a great win. They score .123. Mitch goes out there, plays 21 minutes last night. Starts 21 minutes, 2 points. He only gets 2 shots.
So he's like Dwight Howard. He wants a couple ISO post moves so he can throw up a weak-ass hook shot.
He thinks he's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar all of a sudden. You know, he's Kareem.
Listen,
he wants to make a run at LeBron's record now.
You haven't been around, so you don't know who my new man crush is.
Well, tell me.
I'm in love. I got a man crush. So just so people know, the listeners know that, you know, for if you're new.
This is really new because we've been together a lot over the last couple weeks.
Dom Smith, everybody knows, is my guy.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows Bobo's my guy. I got a new guy.
New guy?
Yeah.
Who's this?
Reed from Minnesota. I think I got a man crush.
Reed from Minnesota?
Yeah, he's replacing your boy.
My boy.
You know the guy that's from here with the, you know, Carl Anthony Towns. He's replacing him.
And he's hurt, by the way.
Yeah, that's
he is in trouble.
That's what I'm saying. But, yo, Reed is balling. You know what I'm saying? Like, even got LeBricks.
The big dude, Reed.
He got handles, see?
So this is
Nas
your guy.
Nas Reed is my man.
This is your guy.
That's my guy.
Wow.
Man. Have you seen him ball?
Haven't seen a lot of him.
He got three. Listen, he hitting threes. I didn't know he was undrafted. He hitting threes. They might trade Carl Anthony Towns. That's how good he playing.
Well, we've been talking about that for a while.
Nas Reed. Mitchell Robinson wants to do that.
Yeah, but you know what? I think Mitchell Robinson.
You haven't seen Nas Reed play.
Not as much as
I was on the Bobo train. I was on Bobo train when he was with Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, everybody sees what I see with Bobo doing this thing. But he got handles. He shoots the three. And, oh, he hungry. He got some wide shoulders. He got shoulders wide like, I don't know what's wrong with my brain today. Anthony Davis. He got wide shoulders like Anthony Davis. He got that dog in him. Man, if they can find a way to get him, that's a guy that you give touches to.
He's only 6'9", 260, too. He's only 6'9".
But he plays like he's 6'20".
Carl Anthony Towns, by the way, his contract. I'm just looking at that right now. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
A lot of money, a lot of years.
You got the Super Mizax.
Oh, my gosh.
Is he good enough for the Knicks to ever trade for?
Knicks fans would hate him. When I say hate, even though he's a local dude, they'd hate him because they'd think they're getting like a superstar. They think they're getting a number one, and then they're going to get frustrated with him. And they're going to say, why did we overpay, and why did we give up all this for Carl Anthony? I'm telling you, it would be bound to happen.
But that might be one of those contracts that...
Dude, it's a lot of money.
Because you got Gobert, you got Anthony Edwards there, they got Nas Reed, so I think that he becomes expendable. They might be willing to move him and eat some of the money.
You want to hear the money the rest of the way? Next year, 36. Year after that, 48. Year after that, 52. Year after that, 56. And then the year after that, which is, let's see, 5 years down the road, an option for $60 million.
Yeah, he's going to opt into that.
Damn!
How old would he be when that happens?
Well, he's right now, let's see, he is 27 right now, so 5 years.
Ooh, 32.
Yeah, because remember, he was a one and done.
Yeah, but 32, that's old.
Nobody came into the league as a teenager.
No, I got that, but that's old. For a big man? Well, big man don't age well. Like we
big man
we,
who's played in the league a long time.
Yeah,
too.
I got concerns about Joel Embiid in like the next 4 years. I think his body starts to break down.
Oh, of course. I mean, he's had problems already staying on the court throughout his career already, when he was younger.
My point. So I'm telling you, if they smart, they'll get out of that contract where he's on the right side of 30.
All right, let's go to the phones. But again, with Mitchell Robinson, I mean, look. I like Mitchell
Robinson.
That's
what happens when everybody wins. When you win,
exactly.
everybody want to eat.
Everybody looks in the mirror and says, it's me. It's me.
Play your role. Shut your mouth and play your role. Is that Stone Cold or is that The Rock?
I don't know about that, but I mean, there have been guys like...
No, shut your mouth and play your role. That's somebody.
I don't know. Who is that?
Come on, man. You're not being a great wingman.
I'm not a wrestling guy.
I'm like Dory. You know, I can remember part of what I want to say, and I forget the back end, but you ain't helping a brother out today.
If anybody knows the wrestling reference, you give us a call here. But let's say hi to Scott Manhattan. He's going to be first up here on 98.7. Yeah. Scotty, how are you?
Yeah, what up, dude? But listen, on the rest thing, first of all, Robinson, shut up. Like I said, you play your role. Like I said, you know what you're there for. Listen, so just be quiet. But on the rest thing, look at it like this. Tibbs is right. You get rest, you know what I'm saying, in other ways. You can rest in the game with other players stepping up. So, and in ball, you know, as a sports person, when I played ball, a lot of times, you're not going to go hard the whole game all the time, especially when somebody else is carrying you in the shots. Like last night, they had 5+20 guys. So you're going to get your rest then because the standard is too close for them to drop a bunch of games. So let them play. And like I say, he's 28. He's not no 35-year-old. His legs are okay. He'll survive. So let him play.
I'm not against you, Scott, at all, and I thank you for the phone call. And it's a look. You've already come this far, Bart. Right? We're 70 games into the season, so I think it's a balancing act. That how are they going to want to approach this thing over the next 10 days or 10 games? I should say.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and who's?
I say you go for it because it could make a difference.
Who's on their ass? That depends. Like, is really home court? You know, at the Garden? Is that?
Well, that wasn't 2 years ago, but this is different.
But is that enough? Right? Like, is that a home field advantage?
All right, here's the question I have for you.
Mm-hmm.
Can Or no, I'll phrase it this way. Are you confident, if you're a Knicks fan, are you confident that the Knicks could go toe-to-toe and beat the Cavaliers in a first-round series if they don't have home court advantage? Because that's what it boils down to. How much greater is your confidence level with home court advantage versus without it in Knicks-Cavs?
I think they can steal home court game one.
Well, then that would solve the problem, but then you have to protect it. Then you can't give it right back, though, by losing a home game. That means you're going to have to hold serve. Remember, that game, March 31st, I know you're going to be watching, Friday night, that could decide it. Knicks at Cleveland. That's a huge game. That's two games in the standings right there worth. So that could have a lot to say as to how these teams are going to finish, 4-5, 5-4, it doesn't matter. The schedule the rest of the way, though, is manageable. You got Denver and Minnesota coming up at home. And we said, Denver on the road is not very good. Minnesota's banged up a little bit. Then you go at Miami, where you just won a week or two ago.
Jimmy Butler, Buck is getting close to playoff, Jimmy.
At Orlando, they stink. Then you're home for Houston, they're terrible. Miami again at home. Then that Cleveland game on the road. Home Washington, at Indiana, at New Orleans, home Indiana. That's 11 games. You could go minimum 7-4 in those 11 games, I think.
Okay, so you can't do that. See, now you got to go back, and now you got to pull up Cleveland's. You got to see what their road is, because that sounds like a tough playing Miami twice.
Playing him twice.
Jimmy Buck is going into playoff. Jimmy, he started to pull out his old coffee machine. You know what I'm saying? He's pulling out his coffee machine.
Okay.
Yo, Indiana ain't going to be no easy out.
This change. All right. Cleveland's got 11 games left, too, but they got an easy schedule.
See what I'm saying?
You ready? Philly at home tonight. That's tough.
Yeah.
Okay. ESPN, too, so everybody's going to be watching.
If they win tonight, then it's really like start resting the guys.
It might be. Home Washington on Friday.
Mm-hmm. Common opponent.
At Brooklyn.
Now, this could be tough.
At Brooklyn again.
That can be tough. Split.
Home Houston.
So they got a common opponent. All right.
At Atlanta. Yeah. And then the Knicks game at home.
Yeah.
Home Indiana.
Yeah.
And then back-to-back at Orlando. At Orlando. So you got to win both of those.
Right. So whoever loses to Orlando, like, let's not even play.
And then the last game of the season, they're home for Charlotte, who stinks. I don't think the Knicks are catching Cleveland.
Okay. How many games back are the Knicks?
Three.
Oh, hell no. So that's what I'm saying. So rest them.
Maybe he don't want to rest, though.
To be able to catch. Listen, sometimes you got to protect them from themselves. All right, enough of the round ball. Let's go to that.
Let's talk. You know what I wanted to talk about?
Let's go back to the, yes, I saw the game, the Packers at Green Bay versus the Giants, and they won.
Oh, it was most exhilarating.
They won by kicking an outfield ball through a big H.
It was a most gripping victory.
Son, I'm going to say this. I'm going to say it one time. If you want to continue to work here, stay off the drugs.
You know what was great about that? Do you remember when in 2007 when the Giants won the NFC Championship game in Green Bay?
Yeah.
They won it in that way with the game-winning field goal in overtime. Like that clip was like splashed everywhere.
The Packers agreed, man.
Oh, it was most exhilarating. Let me get this in here, though. This Hoops update brought to you by Sam Adams Beer, Truly Hard Seltzer, and Truly Vodka Seltzer. This March basketball season, crack open a refreshing Sam Adams Beer, Truly Hard Seltzer, or Truly Vodka Seltzer, the official beer and seltzers of the Big East Conference. Sam Adams and Truly, enjoy responsibly. Play in action last night in the NCAA tournament. Boy, it was a thriller. Pitt beat Mississippi State in Dayton 60-59. Mississippi State, you're not going to ask for a better look. Wide open three in the corner at the buzzer. Would not go. And Texas A&M Corpus Christi beat Southeast Missouri State 75-71. Tonight, Fairleigh Dickinson, little Jersey flavor. They play Texas Southern and Nevada plays Arizona State in the other two playing games, and we don't have to talk about what happened in the NIT last night at all. 800-919.
I'm just playing.
3776.
I'm just teasing you.
Anyways, we'll have Rodgers on McAfee in 20 minutes. We will. We'll talk Giants though when we come back, because you know what? If you're a Giant fan, be excited. Your general manager's made a couple of good moves in the last couple of days here, which I think will continue on this winning track.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Remember, Rodgers, McAfee, top of the hour. We'll keep you posted. Giants, meantime, let me tell you.
Joe Shane.
Joe Shane, indeed. And you know,
A+.
We've been saying This is the offseason where you're going to finally find out if you're a Giant fan what type of general manager you have. Because last year there wasn't a lot of heavy lifting.
Yeah.
Now he's got cap space. Now he's got work to do. Check the first box, sign your quarterback. He did that. Get him some playmakers so the quarterback can actually be successful and you can validate the contract you gave him. Check, check so far. Darren Waller, I don't know how many Giant fans are familiar with him, okay? With the Raiders, he hasn't played much the last 2 years.
Put him in a category so people can understand. He is Travis Kelce. He is Mark Andrews.
He's a Giant wide receiver is really what he is. Like back in the, I mean, the new tight end now.
Has issues.
Right. He's had a lot of it here. And we say issues.
In Baltimore.
Predates Baltimore. Dude, this is when he was a teenager. This is when he had a rough go of it. When he was a teenager, he got into drugs, got into alcohol. It followed him all the way to Georgia Tech when he was in college. Hurt his stock a little bit, but the talent was undeniable.
Yeah.
Baltimore gave him a shot, but he fell into some bad habits again. Got suspended for an entire season earlier in his career, but he's righted the ship. And the Raiders were the ones that benefited. He had two unbelievable seasons. He got the big contract. He does great work in the community with charities so kids don't fall down the same path that he did. If he's healthy, if he could play, it's a great move for the Giants because, Bart, it's a one-year deal. There's no more guaranteed money on the contract after this year. It's a one-year flyer. I think, and what's today, March the 15th?
Yeah.
I don't know what the rest of the offseason is going to hold for the Giants. I don't know who else they're bringing in. Darren Waller has the potential to be Daniel Jones' number one target this year.
Yeah, I mean, what I don't want people to do is go to Pro Football Reference and say, oh, 28 receptions, 3,388 yards. He had an injury-riddled season. But if you look at
the last 2 years.
Yeah. So, you know, that's kind of what it's been. And to be able to flip him for essentially the Kadarius Toney third-round draft
right.
pick, you know, is, I believe, a win. So, like, it's no – just so people know, Jacoby Myers got $11 million a year. Christian Kirk last year set the market at $18 million. By the time we got finished, guys was getting $20, $21 million. It is not any great receivers in free agency. It's not any great receivers. It's not a Chris Olave out there. It's not a Drake London out there. It's not a, you know.
Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, it's not a Garrett Wilson out there, right? So if you're going to get somebody, like, he can be a great receiver, right? And you have to say, okay, how do we get the best out of him? How do we keep him healthy? But you are able to get a weapon. I think the Giants still is going to have to try and figure out a way to get some receivers in here. And I don't think
that
through the draft because you can't rest everything on a rookie. Like, we understand that last year rookies, you know, balled out throughout the league, but you can't have a rookie being your number one guy. They got to go out and get a guy. I don't know if it's trading for DeAndre Hopkins. I don't know if it's trading for Robbie Anderson. I don't know if it's trading for Brandon Cook. But you got to get a professional receiver in here. And right now, that's not available. You know, so you have to do the best that you can do. And Darren Waller is a good pickup for the Giants. And I hope they're just getting started because Bradberry got paid.
Mm-hmm.
In Philadelphia. Bradberry got paid because they couldn't come up because Big Play Slay, when they go to Big Play Slay, he like, I'm an all-pro, I'm a Pro Bowler. You want me to take a pay cut? So you can pay, you know, Jalen Hurts or whoever else you're trying to pay? Or so that you can bring back and afford Fletcher Cox? No way, Jose. I'm the best guy on this defensive side of the ball. So just look. Like, if you sign a guy like Big Play Slay, you not only weaken the Eagles, but you strengthen yourself. And it's looking like the trend is going to continue because I don't like how Philadelphia is looking. And for everybody that thought that Jalen Hurts was the second coming of Michael Vick or Patrick Mahomes, let's see how he plays now that his defense angle. Remember what that defense was the year before when they couldn't get off the field, right? And then now you got to play from behind because you don't got locked down, shut down guys. Now, I know that, listen, Howie Roseman is one of the best guys in the business.
He's also got a center this year, by the way, making $14 million on the final year of his career.
Yeah. So, like, who's the odd man out? Is it going to be Fletcher Cox? Graham came back on a when I talk about a discount, that's an understatement. You know, you talk about 11 sacks last year. Yes, they rotate a lot of people in there, but 11 sacks and you get it for $6 million. He's 34 years old, going to be 35 years old, Brandon Graham, but he's one of those leaders. So now this Philadelphia team is going to be weakened. you know, they're going to have to play more square up because they don't have all these hired guns. They don't have Hargraves as your third rotation guy in the middle coming off fresh, jacked up on Mountain Dew after Fletcher Cox and Jarrett David have warmed down. They're going to have to depend on some of their draft picks from last year. They're going to lose Miles Sanders, so they don't have a running back, mm-hmm. right? And then you look at, you know, N'Kobe Dean's going to have to come in, which I think was a steal, but he wasn't healthy last year. And they
He's a good player, man.
Yeah, sure. But still, they lost Edwards. You lost Edwards and the other kid who led the league damn near in tackles, right? So, like, they're weakened. So, listen, the time is right. And if you can go get a guy like Big Play Slay, you get that lockdown corner that also has all the information that you need on how that defense operates. Like, I think that it's a toss-up.
All right, let me throw some names at you here. Free agent wide receiver. And maybe free agency isn't the way to go because you know what? There can still be trades.
You can trade.
Absolutely. But in terms of free agency, and it's not that great of a
crop.
Don't say
Adam Thielen. Don't start with Adam Thielen.
Where did they say he was maybe ticketed to?
Well, they thought with the Jets, but like he wasn't on the official list.
Because Rodgers mentioned his name like 5 years ago once. That's why people were putting two and two together. No, but I thought that Thielen was maybe headed someplace else here. I'll throw you some names. Tell me if anybody excites you. DJ Shark.
I mean, DJ Shark in Jacksonville with 1,000 yards receiving.
But what did he do in Detroit last year?
Well, he got lost. But you got to understand that St. Brown is a beast.
Right.
They had Hockenson before they traded him.
Okay. How about Juju?
Nah. See, Juju ain't a one.
Thank you.
Juju is a third at best.
Here's one that excites me.
Harmon, maybe?
Here's one that I like a lot. And he's not a one, but he's a playmaker. And last year, he was injured. So he wasn't around for the party. But you know that when he's healthy, and yes, I know that there was a wealth of talent over there. Mecole Hardman.
I just said Harmon.
You said Harmon, not Hardman.
Oh, that's what I meant.
Those are two different guys.
Well, that's what I meant. You know, he's a free agent. I thought he was
gettable. He is a free agent. And you know what's great about all these names, by the way? At least like the ones where these are all like 25, 26 years old. They're not graybeards.
Yeah.
This is their second contracts. You know what I'm saying? So that's the type of guys that you should get. Like the linebacker.
I like Harmon. He's going to have to sign a 1 year. But that's what I was. Listen,
dude.
You know I got.
Oh
you know I got an associate's degree. So when I say Harmon, who the hell you think I was talking about?
Remember, Mecole Hardman was a guy that the Jets wanted to get. Remember when he was in the draft? That was still McCagnan.
Yeah.
There's been stories
he's
written about
they
got duped about not trading up to get him in Kansas City swiping.
Yeah, because he's supposed to be.
He's a speedster.
He's supposed to be Tyreek Hill.
Right.
And last year was the only year that he ever really got hurt like that.
But the thing about the Giants, which is great, okay, you see all the money that they gave to Okereke a couple of days ago with the linebacker.
Yeah, that's still a good deal.
It's a great deal, but that's my point. You're talking about guys who are 26 years old. You're not signing 30-year-old dudes. Like, these are guys that are second contract players still growing into their prime.
That's how I got signed at 25. Ray got hurt, and I was able to show people what I can do in 10 games.
Right, because you told me, and the Jets was your third deal, right?
Yeah. So when I re-signed back with Baltimore, it was based off of what I did in 10 games because Ray got hurt, blew his hamstring out.
Right.
And I was able to kind of show
how
what
old
I could
were
do
you when you signed with the Jets in 09?
27.
All right, that's still good. You know what I mean? That's still prime years. So that's why you had 4 years in you still.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
I had more, but the toe didn't.
What happened? Which toe was it?
My great big toe.
Right foot, left foot?
Right foot.
Interesting. They can make a movie on that. My right foot.
I got a screw in it right now.
Really? Well,
the screw actually fell out.
How's that going through airport security?
No, it's plastic.
Oh, it's plastic?
Yeah.
Interesting.
But it came out.
It came out?
Yeah, it came out.
Voluntarily, or you had him take it out?
It came out. I had to have a second surgery because it was moving. It came out, and the toe rejected it and spit it out. And so it was moving. It was creating a huge callus on my top of the toe. But the callus was coming from inside out, not outside in. Yeah, so like my toe doesn't bend. It just, I can wiggle it, but it doesn't bend because the ligament that they had to transfer doesn't go to the end of
my toe.
Where
was the old ligament from?
Huh?
They said they had to transfer a ligament. Where was the old ligament from? Where'd they take that from?
I forget where they took it from.
Leg, something like that?
But the thing is, the ligament doesn't go to the end of my toe, so I can't curl my toes. I can move it, but it kind of, my big toe doesn't actually touch the ground.
How does that affect you when you go diving, for example? Because you got to curl your toes on the edge of the diving board or the pool or anything like that? Does that bother you?
No. So you've never seen my toe. They call me Elephant Man because my big toe is grand. So.
I want to see that, actually. It's not. Is it as bad as the Antonio Brown feet? Well, that's his feet
in general, the bottom of the feet. No, my feet are cute.
Your feet are cute, but the toe is a problem.
It just doesn't function like a regular toe.
Let me ask you this. I don't want this to happen because you're my guy. You know that.
Yeah, it just doesn't function.
I love you. You know that. But let's just say, like, you know what, Bart, we're going to have to chop the toe off. You're going to have to go at 9. Do you think you'd be all right?
No, that was the thing.
Let me see it.
See, the screw is here.
Yeah.
So, see, it's, right now it's a mini hole right there because the screw's out.
But if I'm looking
they had to cut here because this toe was starting to pull, so they had to cut the ligament here to weaken. They cut from here to here. It took out. See, I'm gonna, let's see how my toe doesn't curl?
Yeah.
It's like frozen straight.
But I don't see.
But you see how big the toe base is? That's why they call me elephant toe because I got a huge nail.
Yeah,
bed.
It looks like swollen.
No.
A little swollen. A little bit.
No, it's not swollen.
Well, swollen, I mean, it seems like this
is
a little.
It matches my thumb.
That's a little bigger.
No, what I'm saying is, of course, a damn big toe is bigger than a thumb.
But
it's
if I looked at the toe, or I mean, if I looked at your foot, I would not have any idea, seriously, that you had something wrong with the toe.
Yeah, until you look closely and you see, like, well, what's this scar where the skin color never came back?
Yeah, but that
back?
Happens. That could be like you get, and like, a bite or something and you burn your... I got
who the hell,
one of those.
Who the hell burned top of your toe?
Dude,
what
if you go
spill
some,
fish grease on it? Grits?
Dude, go some...
Am I Al Green? Somebody threw some hot grits on me and spilled
my toe?
Dude,
you go down to the Caribbean when it's like 120 degrees and you burn your feet in that sun?
Oh, this actually healed good. I haven't looked at this in a while. So they cut from here to here, pulled all the skin back, and then... So the ligament goes... It stops, like, right here. So that's why my toe can wiggle, but it don't touch.
You think we could post this? You feel comfortable posting that or no?
I don't care.
Just so people have a visual.
So all the people when in my last year with the Jets said, oh, Bart lost a step. No, dumbass. I ain't have a toe.
Literally, you lost the step because you couldn't step.
Yeah, literally, this toe didn't touch the ground. It actually curled and recoiled. It was recoiled like this.
What did you? So you wrap that thing up, right, when you go to play?
No,
so you
no,
just
no,
numb
no,
it or
no,
what
no,
happened?
No, I couldn't. So what happened is it was off the air. It was up in the air like this. So I would have to put cushions underneath here. So that when I push...
Almost like orthotic type things.
No, I had to put two cushions underneath because if the toe's in the air...
Right. I know something would be...
I can't push off.
Damn.
So I had to put basically shims
yeah.
underneath my toe. So then when I push off the shims, my feet are all pushing at the same time.
How did you not get into some endorsement deal? Like for athletes, you could put it almost... It's like Dr. Scholl's for athletes or something like that.
Because unlike all these soft people... I didn't tell anybody. Only the team knew that I had no ligament, that I had tore my ligament. I actually did it the third game when Revis blew his knee
in
out.
Miami?
Yeah. My dumb ass played.
On grass, no
yeah.
less. On grass.
Yeah. My dumb ass played 13 games.
Yeah. That was a rough year.
With no ligament.
That was a rough year. What was that, 12? 12, right?
Yeah, it was 12.
That sucked. 800-919-3776.
Thanks for the reminder.
No, I mean, I didn't want to go there. We went down memory lane. But I think your foot looks great, though. And I think the toe's actually okay,
listen,
too.
As far as athlete's feet,
yeah,
I'm a solid 8.
John Madden would be proud of you.
I'm cute.
Athlete's
look,
feet. Tough acting to act.
This was important.
Yeah.
No black. People are like, oh, man, it's from stepping on my shoulder. No, it's not. That's a fungus. You got a live fungus underneath your damn toenail that's living rent-free on your damn toe. All my toenails are the same color, the color they're supposed to be.
This podiatry segment brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. No, I'm okay.
That's a win.
That's a win. Absolutely.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.